greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club. The most exclusive club for men in the country, where every Saturday we're going to talk about taking an animal, throwing it on some scorching fire, and turning it into the most tantalizing, tasty morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman. But we don't drag our women into the caves by the hair. We're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure women into your cave and keep her hair looking good. We don't use clubs. We use Smith & Wesson, Bowtech, and Abu Garcia. When you want to find the center of the grilling universe, you look at a map of North America and just look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys. Peace, love, and barbecue.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the Mother's Day edition of the Grilling Guys. And ladies, this one's all for you. Guys, listen up. We're going to give you just a little bit of assistance on how to make Mama happy on Mother's Day. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
That's right. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. And we have a strange fusion going on this morning, Jop. It's we're blending the Big Brew Day, which is downtown Grand Rapids today, with getting ready for Mother's Day. So I think it might be nice if you wanted to give Mom a pre-Mother's Day present to take her down to the Big Brew Day down in the Calder Plaza and let her taste some fine home-brewed beers. What do you think of that?
I think that's a cool plan, because home-brewed and micro-brewed beer isn't just for the guys. I know a lot of ladies.
My wife will tell you that.
And I know a few ladies that know a hell of a lot more about it than I do, and one of them is working for Siciliano's Market. And I'm telling you that we've had her on the show, but today we're blessed with the man himself.
That's right. The Deer Camp legend, Steve Siciliano. Welcome to the Grilling Guys.
Thanks for having me, guys. And I appreciate it.
And his lovely wife, Barb's, joined him. She's probably chauffeuring today and managing the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
First time we've had you on live, and we appreciate that. We've had you on the phone a few times, but made the trip down to the studio today because we're going to talk a little bit about your Big Brew Day. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, this is the fourth year that we're going to have the Big Brew on the Calder. This year we're calling it the Beer City Big Brew on the Calder, because we have a couple extra sponsors this year, Cold Break Brewing up in Cedar Springs and Gravel Bottom Brewery and Supply out in Ada are graciously helping us out this year. And this is the fourth year, and we expect about 50 teams of homebrewers down here today, and it should be a beautiful day for coming down and sampling some homebrew.
Okay, now time out. What are you calling this again?
The Beer City Big Brew on the Calder.
I want to hear those guys say it by 3 o'clock this afternoon, because well, I can't hardly say that right now.
I would say by 11 o'clock, some people are going to have a hard time. But yeah, it's really not a drinking party per se. It's a way for folks who aren't really familiar with the homebrewing process to come down and see homebrewing in different stages, and at the same time, we do have some homebrew beer to sample. If, as long as you're 21, we're going to be checking IDs at the door, and you can certainly sample some good, some excellent homebrew.
So that means you have to bring your wallets, because it's so common for one of the youngsters who just turned 21 to show up somewhere and not have his wallet. We went through that last weekend.
But well, this event is free of charge. We're not charging anybody for the samples. So, again, it's not like you're going to be getting pints of beer, but little samples of beer, and there's going to be a number of homebrewers down there that are willing to share their – homebrewers love to have other folks try their beers. They're very proud of their beers. They love to have people sample. So, again – it's a free of charge event. Again, if you're 21 years of age or older, you can certainly sample a few of the excellent brews that are being brewed locally.
Steve, you know, I've been down there before, and I am going to go down later today and check out the event. And what I'll tell you is that if you're even remotely interested in home brew, there's a few things that are going on down there that you're really going to want to take part in. One is you get to talk to guys that aren't pros. They don't do this for a living.
Excuse me.
But they're
guys,
very
guys and gals.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Brewers, I'll use that term, better term. Thank you, Steve. That don't do this for a living, but are passionate. really passionate about making good homebrew beer. Bob, I know that you dabble in that a little bit. I've never done it because I'm, frankly, I'm lazy. I'd just rather go drink the guys that are making it, and I know it's already good, and I don't have to mess up a batch or two trying to get there.
Well, you know, the guy sitting to your right here makes it real easy for you to be lazy because Siciliano's Market has, what, 2,000 different beers in stock?
I mean, it's a, I don't know how many we have, but it's a lot.
For some reason, you know, you drive up to the market, and it looks like your typical market, and you walk inside, and it turns into, like, Costco. And there's just aisle after aisle. It's an optical illusion.
I will correct you there, Bob. There is nothing like this place anywhere. There's no Costco about it because...
No, I mean size-wise.
Right. You go down every aisle. There's unique stuff from all over the country and the world, for that matter, with regard to beer, wine. He's got a full walk-in humidor there.
Maybe two.
Yeah. And this is a crazy, crazy place where people can go if you're an aficionado of fine beer, wine, and cigars. This is it, man.
Okay, but the building next door, the room next door, is that's like the original homebrewer supply store for West Michigan, and that place is just busting loose with, you know, even if you're a novice, if you're going to try it for the first time, they sell kits. You can literally walk out buying a box with everything you need to try your first batch.
Beer or wine, right, Steve?
That is correct. Wine is almost as popular as beer right now, and if you make wine from kits, it's really easy, and it makes great wine. So
help me out, because I am this guy that has no equipment. I have really no knowledge. So I walk in, and I say, I've got an interest in learning how to make a batch of beer. I'm not the lazy guy I am. I'm now I've got a little energy. Okay, where do I start, and what are the three things I need to know in order to get into this?
Well, we'll start you out with an equipment kit, and from there we'll pick out some ingredients for you, and maybe a book. There's a lot of good resources. We sell some wonderful books for beginning homebrewers, and but the equipment kit is all put together. It's all ready to rock and roll, and then. We like to start folks out with what we call ingredients kits, but then after a couple batches, you might want to start customizing your recipes, and we have programs that we do that. So
the book part is big. Now, later on in the show, my buddy Mark Mulder, Jop, mentioned that I brew a little bit. Well, I go and help my buddy Mark brew, and he's phenomenal. I told
so you stir it a little bit and drink beer while
I,
he's brewing.
I just kind of do the heavy lifting, but he told me that he got the book we use. He got at your market when you first started selling brewing supplies. And this book is full of copious notes. I mean, this guy's a scientist. Mm-hmm. And he thought that was really funny that you were going to be here. He's going to miss you. He's coming in later. But that's the kind of impact, you know, a cultural thing like this can have on somebody. I mean, you know, because he wandered into the right place. How many years ago did you start doing that? 10?
Probably around 16 years ago now.
Well, you had just gotten into it when he bought that book. So. Mm-hmm. It's an old book, I can tell
you. He was homebrew before homebrew was cool, right? I mean, he started
that. That could be a song.
Right, he started this in West Michigan. But, Steve, tell us once again the name of the event that's going on today at the Calder Plaza.
The Beer City Big Brew in the Calder. It's the fourth annual. And, again, we're going to be down there. The brewers are going to be down there very early. But come on down from around 10 to 3, and you'll see homebrewing in various stages, and again, if you're 21 years of age or older, you can sample some homebrew.
Okay, now I noticed you brought something in here. What's that?
Well, Bob, I've been aware of this Operation GI barbecue that you have going, and I think it's a wonderful cause. I think it's a great cause for the troops, and I brought a box of cigars down you to donate to your operation.
Those look pretty awesome. Primo Del Rey.
Steve, that's a generous
awesome
gift. And what we're going to do is we'll talk about this a little later in the show, but on May 14th, we're going to be up at Chase Smokehouse wrapping up our fundraising, and we will certainly raffle these off. But
that's beautiful.
Yeah. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the craft culture and one of the key ingredients in it. You're not going to want to miss this. It's all about a yeast lab. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Yeah, we're both alone, the right before the fall, yeah. But I'm gonna take this heart of stone. I just don't.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek Original Brew Pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
What a drag it is getting old. Are different today.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's the Mother's Day edition, and we're all talking about the Big Brew Day as well. We were lucky enough to have Steve Siciliano stick around for another segment because when we were on the break, we were talking that our next guest up from Craft Culture Yeast Labs, you actually have a relationship with that company, right, Steve?
Well, we're actually using her yeast for the big brew today. So we purchased some yeast from the company, and we're using that to brew up our Beer City Saison. So
okay, so as I'm checking out all these potentials for home brewers, I just noticed that there's this company out of the UP that has phenomenal selection of yeast, and I love that because my family's from the UP. So on the live line right now is Dr. Emily Geiger, PhD from Craft Culture Yeast Labs. Welcome to the show, Emily.
Thank you. Hi. How are you doing?
We're doing great, and I'm so happy that you could take some time out of your Saturday morning to join us. I was so happy to find your business online. I just explored your website and looked at all the yeast you're making, and I love UP businesses, especially Western UP, because that's home turf for me. And I was amazed at what you're doing. So please tell us what Craft Culture's Yeast Labs is.
So Craft Culture Yeast Labs, I started in 2013, and when we began, we just had about 12 brewing strains, and we propagate those for breweries, so far in-state only, and there is a brewery in Korea, actually, that we ship yeast to. Since then, we have started wild yeast captures, or native yeast captures, where we set out yeast traps and collect indigenous strains for brewing.
That's phenomenal. And I got the tie-in because I called Paul Boisevin to chat with him a little bit. Yeah, from Keweenaw Brewing, and he gave me the whole backstory, and you actually did your internship with them. You're a Michigan Tech grad?
Yes. My undergrad and my PhD are both from Michigan Tech. During graduate school, I had the opportunity to work as their staff microbiologist. And actually, my time there is when I started propagating yeast. They used to purchase yeast, and then once they hired me, they were like, hey, do you think you could propagate yeast for us? And I said, I don't see why not. And it took me about 8 months to optimize the process, and then I started doing market research and realizing that there was a huge need or gap in Michigan for sourcing liquid yeast cultures.
So you figured out the probability of propagation. That's good.
Yes, yep.
Well, I just noticed that your variety in yeast was from all over the world.
Yes, yep.
So tell us how you do that. You buy some yeast from, say, Belgium?
Yep. A lot of them are isolates, too, from different beers from around the world.
Wow. You're way over my head. But I'm awful glad that you're out there doing what you do, because I have learned one thing, in that the yeast has so much to do with the flavor of the beer. In as much as we like to try all these different malts and grains, the yeast has a bigger impact than I think most beer drinkers appreciate.
And why is
that,
Emily?
Why does yeast contribute? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that was Jop.
Yeah, okay. So yeast metabolism, there's different strains of yeast, and each strain produces different aromatics and contributes different flavor and aroma profiles to the beer. The most fun is with these wild isolates, where we have no idea which characteristics they will provide to the beer. So it's a lot of experimenting going on. There's some wild captures that we've had and we've dumped. They're horrible. It's the yeast. I call them the actual brewers. I just tease the guys at the KBC all the time.
Which is Keweenaw Brewing Company. And yes, you actually moonlight there a little bit too, still, don't you?
Yeah, I still work there. Part-time, I'm still working there. And so I do quality control there and propagate yeast for them as well.
Okay, but you actually go out in the Western UP around your lab, different places in Copper Country, we call it, and you put out traps for yeast.
Yes.
What does that look like?
Traps are actually, you can imagine how small they have to be, right? I'm just kidding. They're mason jars. So we fill mason jars with wort about a third of the way up, and we cover them with cheesecloth instead of the metal lid. And we set them outdoors in the warmer months. There's very few of those months up here. But we set those out until they turn turbid or cloudy. And that means there's microbial growth present, all sorts of it. It's like what I call a fruit salad. And so then I use streaking techniques on petri dishes or on agar to separate out the different microbes that are present. And then you go through and test each colony to figure out which ones are yeast, which ones are bacteria. We do ale lager differentiation tests with these isolates, ethanol tolerance tests. We also determine if they are wild or traditional brewing strains, and if they're of the genus Saccharomyces.
Again, over my head, above my pay grade. The long and the short of it is, the yeast contributes so many flavor profiles. When I first started getting into Belgian beers and Belgian styles, one of my favorites was Le Fin du Monde. And I always picked up those banana notes and stuff, and I thought they were putting bananas in the beer, but it's the yeast.
Right. Yeah, it's about to be happy season, and those banana flavors that you pick up from that are actually esters that are spit out, not literally, but spit out by the yeast cells during fermentation.
So most of the product you sell actually goes to commercial microbrewers.
Correct. There's two homebrew shops that we do supply our yeast to. Electric Brewing Supply, that's in Chassel up here. But they do ship online, and you can order online. And then Organic Joe's in Burton, Michigan, also carries our homebrew vials.
How about that? That is so cool. And that Electric, what was the name of the other one?
Electric Brewing Supply.
Yeah, I was on their website last week also. Very cool brewing supply company. Yeah, you guys are all buddies up there, and you're really building a culture for microbrewed beers in the UP.
Yeah, it's great and exciting.
Okay, so I guess in terms of yeast and home brewers buying it, They're typically buying it in a dry form?
Right.
Okay.
From us, it's liquid. We have liquid cultures, and they're actually pitchable. I know that other companies sell starters, and a lot of people just actually use those, and will throw those right into their carboys. But there's not actually the correct amount of cells like you're supposed to create a starter with those. So with our cultures, they have, so typically in other vials that you buy, there'll be about 30 milliliters of slurry. Our homebrew bottles are anywhere from 100 to 150, depending on how dense or flocculent the yeast is.
Right. That would be that'd be an awful lot of yeast for the average homebrewer. So it's you're obviously geared. Well, listen, Dr. Emily Geiger, Craft Cultures Yeast Labs. What's your website?
It's craftcultures.com, actually.
That's wonderful. And you have to go to this website. You'll see a picture of this Youper girl making yeast, and it's just a cool sight. I've never really known quite enough about yeast, and it's could seem like a boring subject, but you're taking it over the top, and we're happy to have another Michigan business with us. So thanks so much for joining the Grilling Guys.
Thank you.
Very cool. So
yeah, you know it is, and there's tremendous science behind all of this.
Man.
It's not just zip a packet open and pour it in the kettle.
And there it is, Michigan Tech. And you think about what a cool school that is, and they're helping us with beer. Go figure.
Yeah. Coming up next, we're going to have an actual home brewer on the show. He's going to tell us a little bit about his trials and tribulations and some of his successes. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Oh, mama, like the roses. But most of all, she cared about the way.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Beer City, USA.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com. The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years.
Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Evidently, our next guest, Mark Mulder, the home brewer, is at home putting the finishing touches on a batch. So I understand he's not going to be with us. So guess what? In Grilling Guys fashion, we're going to pivot and move on to another topic. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Mother's Day part of this show. We hit the big brew the first couple segments. Let's talk about mom and doing something special on the grill for her. What you thinking, Bob?
Yeah, welcome back to the show, and thanks for joining us. You can check us out anytime you want on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. You can follow me on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. And, of course, our website is thegrillingguys.com. Ton of recipes there. And if you're stuck and want to do something for mom on the grill, I would recommend that great resource because it might just save your keister.
Well, at least it would make you be able to put something tasty on the grill, and yeah. That's probably not your keister, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's a great point you make there. Thank you for warning people not to put their keisters on the grill.
Well, what about vegetables instead? Because you know what? A lot of times that we focus on the protein hugely on this show. If it was wiggling a few days ago, it's on the grill today. And sometimes we overlook the vegetables, and those are some of the greatest things you can put on a grill if they're done right and they're prepared right before they get there.
Yeah. How about if we just lay out a complete Mother's Day dinner at the grill for them and just tell them step by step, all, you know, something that would put together a really nice meal for mom. And I would start off with something simple because it's going to be a hectic day. You probably only have one grill. You're going to want to stage your cook so that you can, of course, if you're going to do proteins, get them done first if it's the right thing. Because mom very often isn't the biggest steak eater. She likes something a little lighter maybe. So I went with a beer butt chicken. And I'm going to tell you to season it like I did some chicken the other night, which turned out phenomenal. And that was by putting some garlic EVO from Old World Olive Company on it. And then I put some dried orange peel, which comes in a spice can, you know, just shook that all over it. I put some coarse sea salt on it and then ground some fresh pepper on it. And with a beer butt chicken or a beer can chicken, you would oil the whole outside of that chicken and oil the inside and then put these spices inside and out and then set that thing on your beer can holder and put orange juice or whatever. Orange juice would be perfect since you're going with an orange profile. And put that on the grill for an hour and a half or till you get the joints to 165. Check the thighs. And then maybe do some grilled yellow squash.
Before we jump to the squash, you want to grill that in direct heat. Do not put it over the fire. If you've got a grill where you can, the left half you can fire up separate from the right half, put the chicken on the right half, fire up the left half, run that thing about 300 degrees till the internal temperature is 165. You do not want to put that beer can over top of the fire because the bottom of the chicken will get burned.
So what he's saying is you have to have a grill with more than one burner.
Correct.
If you don't, however, you can always take a ceramic pizza stone and put it on your grill because that's like the greatest equalizer for a crappy grill anyway.
Right.
You know, a lot of grills have cold spots, hot spots. Well, that ceramic stone just, it's forgiving. It distributes the heat very evenly. But that's a very good point. I like grilled yellow squash. And you know, as a kid, I never did. And I think it's because back then, I think everybody overcooked their veggies. And my mom would be making squash, and it was like real mushy.
Right.
But I like taking the small yellow squash or zucchini or a combination and cutting them into wedges and then soaking them in, of course, cheap, zesty Italian.
Right.
Or
it's really a go-to.
It really is wonderful. Or you can make up your own, you know, if you want your own profile, but and then just throw some Mrs. Dash on those. And throw them on the grill quick and get a nice little sear on them, get them heated up, slightly cooked, and that's just a fantastic, beautiful presentation. Mom will love it.
Right.
And the kids will love it because it's grilled and it looks really cool.
Put a little grill marks on it, maybe get just a little crispy. That oil that's in the dressing will crisp those up a little bit on the outside. Nice texture. Right alongside that is grilled potato wedges.
Yep.
And these are easy items, both of these, because really what you're going to be doing is cutting them up and then grilling them. But I'm going to take it just one little twist, put a sweet potato and make wedges
out of
those.
That's really nice.
And again, you're going to want a little bit of oil on them to get them crispy. And I just hit those with cracked salt and some cracked pepper as well. And then just, you got to grill the potatoes a little bit longer than the squash.
Yes, and you want a higher heat for the potatoes.
Right.
You want a higher heat for the squash, actually, too. So once that chicken's done or moved to the side, get your burners up on high and do these veggies quick. The potatoes, you might have to slow your burner down a little bit for, depending on how you do it. I use a basket. I have lots
Great
of these
idea.
Different types of little baskets. So I'm going to soak those potatoes in whatever profile I'm going to do, probably something like just some oil and lemon. And then I'm going to hit them with some black pepper. I might want to throw some chives on them right as they're finishing off. But I like throwing them in a basket because then I can just shake them up or flip the whole thing. Because what you don't want to be doing is flipping individual wedges. It's a pain.
Well, and if you cut them too small, they fall between the grates.
Right.
And
if you cut them too big, they don't cook properly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network, heard every weekend on your favorite station. And right now we're talking about the Big Brew Day and, of course, Mother's Day and home brewing, Mother's Day. Perfect combination. Mom might not like beer, so you might have to get some wine or make some hot apple cider for her.
So the menu so far has been beer butt chicken, grilled yellow squash, and potato wedges. Did we want to throw an appetizer on there, or you want to jump right to dessert?
Well, there's so many things you can do on there. I love wrapping stuff in bacon. So I might stuff some gorgonzola cheese and some dates and put some little half slices of bacon around them and do those real quick. Those are fantastic, and just some gorgonzola or blue cheese. You could also put a pecan in there and wrap a date in bacon if you're not into cheese,
right.
Or some real stiff cheddar or howdah or something like that. But then
again, you're looking for that sweet and salty combination with that date with something in it that might be crunchy,
yeah.
And then the bacon around the outside.
I think you could put like a piece of dirt inside that thing and you wrap it in bacon. It's going to be good.
Yeah, and how do you know it's done? When the bacon is crispy.
That's all.
That's it. There's no science to
And you
got to
go medium heat when you do anything bacon wrapped. You
right.
can't go high heat.
Why is that?
Because it's just going to make your bacon black. It won't necessarily get it to the texture you want.
You get flare-ups, too.
A ton of it.
So don't walk away. When you're putting that kind of a bacon-wrapped appetizer on your grill, don't walk away.
Right.
Stand there and tend it.
Yeah, that's right. It's not your day to have a beer at the grill, although, of course, you will.
Right.
Or maybe only one.
Right.
Or make it a low ABV. Do something like a Keweenaw Pickaxe Blonde.
Right.
My wife loved Pickaxe Blonde.
Right.
Anyway,
right. It is good beer.
It is. So now let's make sure we sweeten Mama up with dessert.
At the end, here we
mm-hmm.
go.
And pineapple slices are so easy.
Yeah,
you can even
are.
Get the canned slices. You don't have to core a big pineapple because
right.
that's kind of a bugger.
Right.
But if you do get fresh pineapple, it'll just turn out better. And then again, do the long wedges.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to want to do is make up a little basting out of some brown sugar and some dark rum and some butter.
Yeah.
And you're just going
melt
to want
it together so it becomes a liquid.
You're just going to want to keep basting, and you throw that on the grill. Make sure you baste it real nicely before you put it on the grill, because the one thing that'll happen with that pineapple is it'll want to stick, and the sugar will make it want to burn. So what I do with a pineapple wedge is I take a skewer and run it lengthwise right through the wedge, and I pick up on the wedge, and I take a spatula and pry under it before I do that, flip it over once, and then I hit it again with some more glaze right as I take it off and set them on the plate, and then I drizzle a little bit more of that over it and bring it out steaming hot. And
great
my mouth is watering right
yeah.
now. I love it.
Simple, simple dessert out there, grilling world, because you can do nothing easier than take the husk off a pineapple, wedge that thing,
mm-hmm.
slice the core out, and you got little triangles that look like a half a banana almost, and there's another one that's really good on the grill. But glaze it up with that simple glaze that Bob put together. But the skewer is a cool trick.
It is.
Because now you can flip it. It's got some
well,
stability.
Well, they want to break in half right, is what exactly. happens because you're against the grain.
Right. And it's and they're soft anyway, and as they heat up, they get more pliable. But so there's your Mother's Day on the grill. A little beer butt chicken, grilled squash, potatoes, some pineapple, and start off with
you're a hero.
The dates and bacon. And I'm telling you about your date will want to be making bacon later if you're giving her all of that.
You can't say that on the radio.
I think I just did. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to be talking with a guy named Steve Parr from the American Home Brewers Association. You're not going to want to miss this guy. He's one interesting cat. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Don't you worry.
Hi, I'm Jim Crank, and I would like to personally invite you to visit Cranker's Restaurant and Brewery. With three locations in Grand Rapids, Mount Pleasant, and Big Rapids, Cranker's brews award-winning beers and has one of the finest menus in the Great Lakes. From our barbecue brisket to our junkyard omelets, Cranker's is the ultimate microbrewery experience. I believe if you eat good, you feel good. Visit crankersbrewery.com. That's crankersbrewery.com. Eat good, feel good. Cranker's. Yeah!
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, Jop, I'd high-five you on that last play, but I can't. My plate's full, and I got my beer in the other hand.
Hey, Bob, you need the Super Tailgate Plate. It holds a bottle, a can, or a glass, plus all the fixings in one hand. Whether you're tailgating, partying, or at home sitting around the campfire, you got a hand free for anything you need to do.
Wow, Jop, where do I get mine?
You know what? At thegrillingguys.com, we've got them. Just click on that Super Tailgate link. And they're available in 12 and 4 packs.
Now that's a game winner, baby.
You bet.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
The helping hand that guides you along.
Welcome back, kiddies. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And this is the Mother's Day edition. And that's just a little Grilling Guys tribute to all the wonderful moms that are out there listening. And guys, whether it's the mother of your children or your own mom you're spending time with today, it's time to get out and prove yourself on the grill, on the smoker, and on the deep fryer. And we're also talking a little bit about microbrewed beer today.
Yeah, home brewers. And with the big celebration going downtown thanks to Siciliano's Market, and Gravel Bottom, and I think the new place up in Cedar Springs.
Right.
It's Mother's Day, and it's a little home brew, but that was a little cut from Peter Pan, the old Peter Pan cartoon that I thought was so sweet. So all you dads can tender up just a little bit. But now it's time to toughen up and buck up, okay? Because we're going to talk about home brewing, and we're going to talk about the biggest home brewers organization in the world, and we've got the man that runs the whole show, Steve Parr from American Home Brewers Association, on the grilling line right now. How are you doing, Steve?
That's right. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Hey, you're running a big organization. You're herding cats. You got all kinds of people that are, I mean, it's an association, so this is just something they pay dues for, and you don't really have any control over them. You're just trying to guide them, and that's a big mission.
That's right. We're a national organization that works to promote and protect home brewing, but we got 46,000 members nationwide. Fortunately, they all like making beer, so it's we share some interest.
Steve, how much has your organization grown in the last 3 to 5 years?
We've seen some pretty incredible growth. After 2005 to about 2014, we were averaging about 19% membership growth every single year, and so we're up to about 46,000 members right now.
And if I wanted to become a member of the association, what are the two or three reasons that I would be drawn to your group?
Sure, yeah. So folks join for a number of reasons. First of all, we obviously we promote the hobby through mainly just providing educational material. So if you want to find videos or information on how to advance within the hobby or just brew that first batch, we have that all on our website. You also get a magazine called Zymergy Magazine. So Zymergy is the study of fermentation sciences. We deliver that to the household every 2 months. Kind of updates on what's going on, not just in the home brewing world, but within the beer world. And then our members get a membership card in the mail that gets them access to discounts at breweries and beer bars and homebrew shops across the country. There's more than 1,300 participating businesses doing that. So you can save a little money, learn a little bit about home brewing. And then we also have a couple of events that we put on, like the National Homebrew Competition. Currently qualifies as the world's largest international beer competition. We had 8,000 entries this year.
Wow.
So AHA members can submit their homebrew into those competitions, get them judged by judges all over the country, and get some feedback so you can make better beer.
So where is this homebrewers competition at?
So the competition, we do a first round judging at 12 different regional judging sites across the country. And so no matter where you are located within the U.S., we even have some international entrants. You can get your beer shipped to not too far from where you live. And then all those entries that qualify and pass that first round are going to make it to a final round that takes place at our annual conference. And so HomebrewCon, we move it around the country. This year we're going to be out in Baltimore. It's June 9th through 11th. We're going to have about 3,000 homebrewers come and attend brewing seminars. And then, of course, we have that final round of the competition, so where we have an awards ceremony. And the best of the best of the nation's homebrewers are going to be recognized for making great beer.
So where will be the place in the Great Lakes where people can compete?
The closest judging site up there was Minneapolis.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you had your annual convention in Grand Rapids a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, we were just in San Diego last year. We were in Grand Rapids the year before that.
Right.
We're out in Baltimore this year. And so we do list out all that information on homebrewcon.org.
So I'm going to guess that California's probably got the greatest number of members.
You know, it is one of the largest contingents of our members. Obviously, along the front range of the Rocky Mountains, we got a lot of homebrewers as well. But then, you know, up near Grand Rapids in the Great Lakes area, people are making a lot of homebrew. You know, I don't know if it's just the water or what, but a lot of great homebrewers, a lot of great sources for raw ingredients and materials, and the homebrew shops up there are great supporters of the local homebrewing community. And so we work a lot with them.
Well, there's no drought here, that's for sure.
That's right.
In beer or water.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just always curious about the effect that the water has on the brew.
You know, it does play a role. Really depends on the technique of brewing that you're going to be using. If you're an extract brewer, you know, some of the extracts that are coming out of these manufacturers nowadays are such high quality that you can make just as great of beer with these extract recipes as you can with an all grain. But with those extracts, a lot of the mineral contents and the ions that go into the mashing, we don't need to get too technical, but that's already present. When you're doing all grain brewing, you can do some things to manipulate that water that's going to say, you know, I guess, depending on the style, accentuate right. certain flavors that you're aiming to get. So if you're submitting your beer in a competition, it might be beneficial for you to play around with some of that water chemistry. And our members enjoy that technical side, that creative do-it-yourself aspect of making your own beer. You know, maybe you tasted it, took some notes. Next time you tweak the water profile and it comes out better next time. And that's we touch on that on our website as well.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, heard every weekend on your favorite station. We're talking right now on the Grilling Line with Steve Parr, who heads up the American Homebrewers Association. And I got to believe you have some awesome job security, because I don't know of any associations with such a robust and growing group. Do you, Job?
No, I don't. And Steve, I always like to get the one or two things. The guy in your position, you see a lot of homebrewers. You get a lot of forum hits. I know you do. What are the top one or two questions that you get, and what would be the answer to those as the association?
Well, I'd say the first thing is, you know, where do I go to find ingredients? I mean, your local homebrew shop is going to be the greatest resource for you for finding that initial beginner kits, so you can brew that first batch of beer. They're also going to be a source of information, and so that you make that first batch as easy as possible. They're going to eliminate a lot of the crazy variables, because brewing can be as simple or as complicated as you want it to be. But, you know, work with that local homebrew shop, and they're going to get you everything you need. If you don't know where your local homebrew shop is, we do have a directory on our website, and you can pull it up by city and state and find a shop by you.
And give us your site. Give us your site real quick.
Website is homebrewersassociation.org.
All right.
Easy.
Thanks so much for joining us, Steve. That's just some fantastic information, and we wish you the best of luck in growing your operation, and we sure appreciate what you're doing for that segment of the market.
Yeah, guys, thanks so much, and you know, have fun with Big Brew.
Yeah, we'll do. Okay, Steve Parr, American Homebrewers Association. That's a lot of people, man. He's herding cats.
He is. He's a man. It's yeah. Time for some man law.
Now you're a man. A man, man, man. Now you're a man. A manny, manny, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
Today's man law is brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan, home of the best pasty in the Lower Peninsula. But with our UP roots, the pasties are just going to get bigger, Joppy. And don't even say gravy, because if you go to the UP with me, when we visit Keweenaw and all these places, and you talk about gravy, we will get our butts kicked.
Okay.
Just remember that.
I will, Mr. Ketchup.
Today's man law is in accordance with, it just goes with home brewing and beer in general. On a road trip, the strongest bladder determines pit stops, not the weakest.
Oh, it all depends who you're traveling with. We're back to making bacon, but if you don't stop when she wants to stop, you're in trouble, brother. I'm just telling you right now. Hey, got to get a little shout-out today. Our friends at Sobe Meats in West Michigan having a big anniversary sale today on Remembrance Road, just on the northwest side of Leonard. Look them up, SobeMeats.com. But big doings out there. Got lots of barbecue guys out and meat reps and all kinds of stuff.
That's great a must. That's a must-do. So right. After you do the homebrewers gig,
on the Calder in Grand Rapids.
Then yep. Head over to Sobe's, because there'll be deals aplenty.
Get out in your backyard. Do something special for Mother. Get something on the grill. Enjoy a microbrewed beer and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. You've been listening to the Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll talk to you later.
I was born, always for the oven with this burning heat. Where she stood making sure I had something to eat. Tea is for the time that she stayed up night and took my temperature.